Before making an arrest for heresy, it is customary to have pretext in some form of evidence. So Wolsey attempted to arrest Hugh Latimer and Thomas Bilney on the charge of possessing forbidden books. This attempt failed because Latimer and Bilney were warned in advance and made sure that no books could be found. After two such prominent ministers slipped through his fingers, it became of paramount importance to Wolsey that he should make an example to frighten such men. He found his example in Prior Robert Barnes. One Sunday, Barnes preached a sermon against the hypocrisy in the church, including the priests, the bishops, and the Lord Cardinal himself. After the sermon's close, Barnes was challenged to recant. Bilney and George Stafford were with him and encouraged him to stand firm. When Barnes refused to recant, a sergeant-at-arms was dispatched to arrest him and take him to Wolsey. "What, Master Doctor, had you not sufficient scope in the scriptures to teach the people, but that my golden shoes, my pillars, my cushions, my crosses did so offend you that you must make us ridiculous amongst the people? We were that day laughed to scorn. Verily, it was a sermon more fit to be preached on a stage than in a pulpit. I spake nothing but the truth out of the scriptures, according to my conscience and according to the old doctors." Barnes then presented 6 sheets to support his statements. "We perceive, then, that you intend to stand to your articles and to show your learning." "Yes, that I do intend, by God's grace, with your lordship's favour." "I will ask you a question. Whether do you think it more necessary that I should have all this royalty, because I represent the King's Majesty in person in all the high courts of this realm, to the terror and keeping down of all rebellious treasons, traitors, all the wicked and corrupt members of this Commonwealth? Or to be as simple as you would have us, to sell all these things and to throw it to the poor, and to throw away this majesty of a princely dignity, which is a terror to all the wicked? I think it necessary that it be sold and given to the poor, for this is not comely for your calling, nor is the King's Majesty maintained by your pomp and poleaxes, but by God. Lo, Master Doctors, here is the learned wise man that you told me of." Here the doctors persuaded Wolsey that, with a little effort, Barnes could still be reformed. "For your sakes and the university, will be good unto him. How say you, Master Doctor? Do you not know that I am a legate, and that I am able to dispense in all matters concerning religion within this realm as much as the Pope may?" "I know it to be so." "Will you then be ruled by us, and we will do all things for your welfare and for the welfare of the university?" "I thank your grace for your good will. I will abide by the Holy Scriptures, according to the simple talent that God has lent me." "Well, thou shalt have thy learning tried to the utmost, and thou shalt have the law." Robert Barnes was dispatched to the Tower of London, but at the insistence of 2 prelates, Gardiner and Fox, Barnes was moved to more comfortable accommodation, not that he wanted to sleep, with 3 devoted students, including Miles Coverdale, as his scribes. Barnes spent the night in writing a defence of his beliefs. The following day, Barnes faced another panel of bishops and doctors of divinity. The arguments lasted all the day. Barnes was scorned and threatened until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, when at last he was asked whether he would abjure, that is to solemnly renounce his faith, or else be burned. "Promise to read this paper in public without omitting or adding a single word." "I would die first." "Will you abjure or be burnt alive?" "Take your choice." "I would rather be burnt alive than abjure." Gardiner and Fox, whose actions had appeared so considerate toward Barnes in the matter of accommodation the night before, stepped forward. "Listen to reason. Your articles are true. That is not the question. We want to know whether by your death you will let error triumph, or whether you would rather remain to defend the truth when better days may come." After some time of this sly persuasion, Barnes signed. He recanted all that he had said as error, and pledged himself to do so no more. The humiliation of Prior Barnes was watched by all who loved their new Gospels and Saviour. After signing his name to an admission of heresy, Barnes faced public penance for his crime. He was not alone in this punishment. Five of the merchants who had smuggled copies of the New Testament into England suffered beside him. They were escorted by a knight marshal, warden, and the billman to London. There, Lord Cardinal Wolsey sat waiting for them at St. Paul's. Sat on a throne, dressed in scarlet, boldly displaying all the finery that Prior Barnes had condemned.